So I'm watching this show at the moment on Netflix called Tyler Henry, Life After Death. This is a little taste of Tyler Henry. He's a psychic medium dude, I guess we'd call him.
Is there a herald?
That's my grandfather.
It's always creepy when that happens.
I keep getting
kind of a famous feeling.
Like, you're right on.
There is a reference to someone finding a spot on an x-ray of our lungs.
How did you know that? Like, you felt the spot?
Now, he's only a young dude, right? But he has found himself, quite, he said he had these powers since he was like 9, and then he's done a few of the famous people. And so now he's like the Hollywood go-to guy, right, for doing these readings. And he's a very laid-back kind of chap. And he was chatting about how, you know, these people, when they have these experiences, and he can mention people from the afterlife once they've crossed over, and ways that they're trying to get in touch. So, you know, he's like, oh, they show me images and they show me this. And one of the conversations that he was having was that, like, you know, he said to the woman, he's doing a strange dance. Is there something about this dance? And he got up and he kind of acted it out, did this weird dance. And she just burst into tears and then started laughing. And she said, that's the dance that he and I used to do to one another.
Wow.
Right? And it's this really, it was this really wacky, like he wouldn't have known that. Right? And it was a bit of a moment of, oh.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I remember when we spoke to John Edward years ago, he said to us when he was younger, he tried to get a message through saying to his mum, when you cross over, this is the message that we will send to each other so that I know that this is legit, right? And he's waiting for that message. And when that message came through, he went, okay, I've got the power.
Mm.
So I text my dad. I got all caught up in this moment of Tyler Henry and I text my dad and I said, Dad, don't want to be weird, but when one of us crosses over, this will be the signal that we will use to contact each other. Now, I'm not telling anyone else what it is.
Sure.
And Dad's not telling anyone what it is. He and I know we have this thing. And Dad just very casually texts back, okay, no worries. Like, that's our thing now.
Is your dad into that sort of stuff? Like, is he a believer?
I don't know if he's a believer, but like, I think
he'll go with it.
He's open to the, I'm like, look, if he's going to get an opportunity, there's one simple task. Like he and I go, if the opportunity comes up for us to contact again, this is the one thing we're going to do and I'll know it's legit.
Right.
And so I've locked it in now. It's kind of like an afterlife password, you know, because I sort of feel like Dad and I know this connection. Yeah. Nobody else knows it. So if it happens, it's going to be legit. And I want to know if anyone's had this experience.
Well, we talked about that show, Surviving Death. And those women that said to their mum, come back as a bird, and sure enough, a bird appeared and wouldn't leave them alone. And so it does really, you know, makes the hairs on my arm
single. I'm enthusiastic. Mm. Have you ever had a bit of a thing or you shared a thing with a family member? Maybe you didn't directly say, hey, contact me this way.
Yeah.
If you did, that's even better. But did they come back and kind of make it very known that they were there?
Jenny in the Vines. Hello.
Hello.
So your dad?
Yes.
Okay. What happened, Jenny?
Well, he'd been dead about a month and my husband and I were down at mum's, the house they'd lived in for 40 years, painting her bedroom. And a strong smell of insulin. Deb was a diabetic and so was our daughter. They both used insulin. And I said, oh, mum must have dropped a bottle of insulin out of the fridge. And I said, you drop insulin, mum. My husband can smell it. No. She said, I give it all to your daughter. And I just looked at my husband. He looked at me and I said, oh, Dad's here.
Ah, the calling card.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I had a next door neighbour who was like a grandmother to us and her house, I mean, she was a very heavy smoker, but I've never, ever, ever smelt those cigarettes again. I don't know what they were. Very specific. Mm. It was a full-on smell because she smoked a lot of them in the house. Mm. And my sister, every now and then, said she gets the smell that comes from nowhere. She'll be in her home and it'll just drift through.
Wow.
Joanne in Condoola, good morning to you. You're in aged care.
Yes, I am.
And so have you had a message, Joanne?
Yeah, I have. I had this little lady I looked after for 3.5 years in a nursing home and she was my favourite. And she passed away when I was actually on holidays. But she did a lot of art. She did paintings.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
She left one for me, the one that I really loved, in her bedroom. And I put it up in my bedroom above my bed, and every night it would move. It'd be tilted.
Oh. Really?
And then I'd straighten it up, and then the next night it'd be tilted again. And this still happens now. She's been gone 2.5 years.
And it's still happening?
Yep.
Well, it's either her or your foundations really need looking at. That's cool.
Wow, Joanne.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, well, because, you know, I mean, it's a question we'll never be able to answer, well, isn't it? And it's just nice to know that maybe, just maybe, there's something going on afterwards.
And you remember John Edward, you know, he said some things to me which were pretty accurate about my parents who have both passed, but I still don't know because we didn't have that. This is the only thing that you and I...
Yeah.
We got Taylor in Butler. Good morning to you. Tell us about your mum.
So she passed away in 2019, and we had this pact where we would reach out in any sort of way to explain to the other one of how it felt to die and what it felt like. And she ended up 3 months after passing away, she ended up like, on the other side, contacting one of my friend's mums who was a medium, and she kept on pestering the medium, and the medium ended up writing everything that my mum wanted to tell me down, and she explained in this huge, big, long letter of what it felt like to die, and it just, like, everything to get hold of me, and it was just the most bizarre thing. It was actually, like, people don't believe me when I show them this letter. Like, my family didn't believe me and stuff. But
Was it comforting or a little bit strange?
It was it was very hard to digest.
Okay.
But it was a bit comforting, but it was also a bit scary as well.
Yeah, what was it, Taylor? What was the description?
That she got bathed in, she was like bathed in a warm, like, she was soaked in a warm bath, and she like woke up from a warm bath, like, it's like she was trying to describe it as like a milk bath.
Wow. Like a weekend at Abbey Beach.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Wowee.
Yeah, that's not go. Too bad, if that's all it is.
Yep. Oh, I'm fascinated. I saw this thing online that I went, oh, this is the kind of thing that could change. This could be a revolution. This could change everything, guys. Because also, too, there, you know, this whole like idea that we've got extroverts and introverts and some people who get along a bit easier in public and love a chat and those that don't. And trying to navigate that without being rude is a challenge.
And sometimes, as we all know, you have to put it on. You know, there are days that I just want to be under the doona, but we've got an event or something and you've got to, you know, paint on a smile, and it takes it out of you.
Oh, and you never know that one time that, you know, you might go to make a purchase at a store and people recognise that it's you or your name's on your credit card or whatever, and you haven't been excessively friendly that day. We might look like we're nasty people.
Mm.
It's all it takes, right? But this is a good plan. Now, I've had this at a similar place when I went for a massage and they asked me what I wanted before I went in, and I went, oh, this is dreamy. I mean, I'm always coming back. This guy drives like a rideshare car, you know, like he's got a rideshare job, and it says is a sticker or a note posted to the back of the chair so that when you get in his car, it says, "Welcome to Cameron's car."
Good on you.
To ensure the best ride possible for you, I've prepared a menu of the various types of rides that I offer. Choose one or don't, because that's an option too, and just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Oh, legend.
And I love Cameron's offerings. I'm
all right, let's have it. What's his list?
Number one, the awkward ride. You ignore this menu completely and we sit in silence for the remainder of the ride. Two, the funny ride. I tell you jokes or embarrassing stories from my life. Three, the silent ride. Nothing. Four, the creepy ride. I don't say anything, but I keep staring at you in the rearview mirror.
I've had a few of those.
Yes.
Number five sounds fun. The karaoke ride. We rock out to hits from the 80s, early 2000s, or literally whatever you want. Big fan of that one. The bubbles ride. We blow bubbles the whole time. He provides bubble blower. The small talk ride. We talk about how crazy the weather's been lately, and I ask if you caught the game last night. The therapy ride. You vent to me about your problems, and I listen.
Aww.
That's nice. Like that. Nine, the drunk ride. You throw up in my car. Or 10, the cliche ride. You ask me how long I've been driving for this service.
I love Cameron. I love Cameron.
Isn't it great? Like, yes. I love that. When I went for my massage and they said, what kind of conversation do you want in this massage? Do you want none at all? Do you want a little bit of chat? I was like, none at all. Mm. I want to go in and have a massage and have a nap. And I love it when people ask. So maybe we should just be asking people what they want.
If we could learn not to take offence to clear communication, it would be a much better world if people just went, I don't feel like talking, and you didn't take offence at that. Mm. You went, okay, fair enough.
Yep.
There's no more awkwardness.
Yep, true.
Could have that at the hairdresser. Just throwing it out there. Yeah, yes. Just throwing it out there. Yes. I just like to go into the hairdresser, sit in the chair, do your thing. Done.
Yeah.
Bang.
Don't want to get to know you.
Nah, I'm good. Can I show you guys a piece of bread that's doing the rounds at the moment? It's from a cafe in Sydney. Now, they say that this is an absolute disgrace, and it's a picture of a person who's holding up what appears to be their sourdough toast, and they've gone to the cafe. They've said, I have the sourdough toast. Can you please put butter and Vegemite on it? That'd obviously, take away. They've put it in the little box or whatever. Then this person's gotten in the car and they've taken a look and right. So that's the picture there.
That's
really gross, isn't it?
It looks like a piece of toilet paper. Let's be honest. After the third
describe the third wipe, listeners, what it is that you're looking at right now.
It certainly hasn't been toasted. It looks like a piece of bread, and if you know, maybe the middle third is covered in a bit of butter, and then the tiny, maybe the size of two thumbprints of Vegemite.
Yeah, smear.
Mm. Looks like a little face, little angry face.
It does.
Little angry face is not happy about how much Vegemite's on there.
It's probably $24.
Surprised me in the least. I mean, there is so many things that are wrong with this picture.
And Vegemite's a tough one because Vegemite is the kind of product that people put on in different amounts.
Yeah.
So it can make or break a piece of Vegemite toast because it's the difference between going it's too much or too little.
Sure.
Well, I do remember there was a Facebook group that a little while ago posted, you know, what's the appropriate thickness of Vegemite, what's the smear, and they had six pieces of toast lined up from one to six, a little bit, you know, a little bit more, and then it was just like lathered on by the time you got to number six. But this one, you know, like terrible job of not just the Vegemite, the butter, as you've mentioned, doesn't even make it to the edge of the toast.
That's like a lack of care, isn't it?
It really
even
is.
The butter's not going to the edge,
yeah,
though.
And that's the thing,
awful,
right? So that's not the only thing that I've spied that's an issue that I feel is a disgrace with this picture.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the biggest disgrace is that you're going to a cafe and you're ordering Vegemite on toast, which is something that you can have at home.
Not
a problem. Mm. You'll pay like, you know, you can get a loaf of bread for a couple of dollars and then you get your jar of Vegemite or whatever. You've got the biggest jar of Vegemite in the world you can have in your fridge. Cheeky bit of butter. Bang. Right, and it's not like you can't get good sourdough toast at any sort of baker or whatever.
It's not even that you can just make it at home. Oh. I'm with you, Pete. There's a list of things I would never order from a cafe.
Please,
with hot tea. I'm not paying $5 for boiled water and a tea bag. Yeah. I'm not.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, but I still order tea.
I just think if you're getting a coffee where you're getting ground beans and a latte and they're doing froth in the milk and you're getting all your goodness, that's not the same as getting a tea bag with hot water in it. And I will not buy a tea. Mm-hmm. And I will not buy muesli.
No, don't go to a cafe
and get muesli. Yeah.
You can just stick your birch where the sun does.
Yeah, like a bit of muesli or yogurt and fruit. Like, nah.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's a no deal for you at a cafe, or do you think it's a bit of a waste?
I resent paying for breakfast at the best of times.
Do you really?
I do. It's the one meal that I think I can do this quite well at home.
I don't know.
I just look, and I've been to places and they do lovely poached eggs on toast, and I just look at it and go, I don't want to pay for that, even though it's good, because I'm just a tight, small little man.
But I would never order Vegemite toast.
No. Yeah.
For me, it's anything without bacon.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if you go into a cafe, you get bacon. Maybe a side of anything.
Yeah.
Side of bacon with absolutely everything. I'll have a double espresso. I'll have a side of bacon.
I'll have
a
plate of bacon with a side of double espresso.
Oh, my God. That sounds absolutely glorious, Kimber. What a great idea.
Let's open a cafe.
It's your kidding me time.
Well, I finally had a win, didn't I? Hey!
You did have
a win last week.
You did have a win last week. Good for you, mate. Still a little ways behind, but you're on your way.
Yeah.
So 9 points to 4 for the tally for the year. Kimber, miles ahead.
Okay, I need a buffer. Yeah.
Just like Freya, they've never been. She's never been this far ahead of me.
That's a great point. So just before the song, gave you a little taster. All right, so we've got three different montages of audio here. If you've never heard about You're Kidding Me before, welcome. They're from three different years. They're made up of things like songs or movie moments, moments in time, quotes, all sorts of stuff. Played you the first one. Let's have another go at it.
Just before 10:30, a triumphant Bob Hawke in Melbourne claimed his third victory.
Come on, Matt, let's do the move. You stand over there and I'll run up.
Oh, you're going to jump on me? Oh, got a bit of warm
it's
up.
It's the move.
The move.
The so dirty dancing move.
I need the year that you think it's from. Closest to the pin, best of three will win. Today's Year Kidding Me. What are we thinking?
What do you think?
Maddie, are you going to go with your political background
I
here?
Am.
I thought
yes,
you might. I thought yes. The Bob Hawke one would be the one that stands out. I actually don't know because I have, Dirty Dancing didn't surpass my 20-minute rule. I was so bored I didn't watch the rest of it.
Mm. That's so, sacrilege, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah. I've never seen it either.
It's just what it is. You don't have to love Dirty Dancing just because everyone else does, guys.
No.
It's all right. I'm locking in 86. I don't know why.
I think it's a little later than that. I think it's around 88, maybe 89.
Mm. My gut said 87, but I sort of went, I don't know. I'm going to Whitney take it back a bit. But 86 I'm locking in.
I think 86. Hawke lost his... I think Paul Keating took over in around 91. So I think that was during Hawke's third term.
Interesting. So what are you going with?
I'm going with 88.
88?
Yeah. Well, I might as well go 87 if Kim is going 86.
Okay, you're going 87?
I'll go 87, yeah. Sorry.
What I love is that, like, Pete always writes it down like he's doing the working out.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
he
can't be doing that much working out. I mean, there's not much in it, is there?
No, I'm just, you know. Just
he's doing a crossword.
Sure. It's either post 86 or not.
What? okay. It was 1987.
Oh, I should have gone with my instinct.
Should have gone with your instinct. Okay. Here is your second one.
Man, a spectacular move by Lightning McQueen. Yeah, good job.
I'm bringing sexy back.
Australian crocodile hunter Steve Irwin has died during a diving expedition near Port Douglas in Australia.
Oh, God, okay. I remember that when Steve Irwin died.
This is a tough one for me.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of reference points I do have. Because Justin Timberlake was in a nightclub that I was in when I was living in Canada.
Oh,
and
really?
That song had come out just beforehand. And
sexy
it was
back?
Pretty hot.
Are you serious? That was like, that was peak Justin
and
Timberlake.
Were you
and
out
I went to,
in Toronto, in on tour?
Well, I also went to a Halloween party in when I was living in Toronto as Steve Irwin. And people were not happy.
Oh,
they loved Steve Irwin more than I thought did. And they don't really, they didn't see the humour in me dressing as Steve Irwin for Halloween.
I mean, I've got no idea. So I'll bounce off you as I often do.
I'm going to go 2005.
I'll go 2006. I mean, I have no idea. No idea.
He's in the same club as you. Did you try to get near him?
Did you try to go and say
hello?
It was in one of those, you know, when you're at a nightclub and they have the VIP booth.
Oh, yes.
And they bring you the Grey Goose and all the, you know, and you sit in that little, that was his little section.
You could have been like one of those people where they're like, bring her in.
Because the film festival was on and he was there for like a, there was something going on. He was there to see the film festival.
Should have bought him a bourbon and Coke.
Yeah. They don't know what anything is over there. When I first got over there, I ordered a vodka, lemon, lime and bitters and they didn't know what that was and what they bought me was hilarious. Anyway.
2006.
Oh,
bang. Maddie.
Wow.
Maddie, wow, Maddie. Wow.
Maddie. Nice steal.
Oh, nicely
that
stolen.
That was a steal.
Easy last one just for, you know, just for giggles.
Bad Deadpool.
Seven.
Good Deadpool.
Baby, Perth Airport,
Tower to Antonov.
One of Matt's songs.
And yet I still don't know what year it was.
Go on, hit me
with
it quick.
I can't believe that Deadpool was the same time as that song, that other song.
Cheap Thrills.
Yeah.
And Antonov as well. That was a few years ago. Everyone rushed out to see
2018.
That.
2018.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Timber. I think that he's probably on it there.
No.
2019?
2016.
Was it?
Was it that long ago?
It was that long ago, mate. Yeah.
Can't remember tomorrow.
Started seeing these promos popping up on our tellies.
Hello. This is Big Brother. 21 years ago, I invited my first ever housemates into my game. In 2022, Big Brother is going back to the future. Housemates of the past are re-entering my house.
Housemates of the past.
Oh, God.
21 years ago.
God, Struth. And we've not moved on since.
Do you know, is it fair to say that Big Brother kind of launched reality TV?
Oh, easily.
I sort of feel like that was when we went, reality. And then I did not know that 21 years later it would be all we produce.
Mm. Yes, but Kimber, it's Favourites coming back in.
This is the fascinating thing to me, though. Isn't this weird? Like, Favourites coming back. I would imagine that the people who watch Big Brother now are a younger audience.
Mm.
Right? Because we're sort of past it, right? We're sort of like, we get it. We've done it. This is our lives now. And now they're bringing back old players, bringing back Reggie and bringing back
Tully, Reggie, Layla, Tim Dormer's coming back, Trevor Butler, who won in 2004, coming back.
What about Ben, the first winner?
No, I don't know if he's coming back because I think Ben does a lot of I often see Ben's jet setting around the world doing a lot of like charity work and stuff
really?
These days.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. But I think Peter's coming back. I think Peter runner up. For season one, I think he was the runner-up to Ben, if memory serves me correctly.
Right. Okay. Is he the one who proposed?
Oh, geez, great
question. The one that proposed on the stage. This is the thing. With reality TV, you really only know their first name and you normally forget it within the year.
Yeah.
But they're bringing them all back to play a game that they never played the first time round. Because Big Brother at the time was like just a social experiment. You're sitting in the house just seeing if you can get along.
Yeah.
Big Brother in the last few years has been like Survivor. It's been like tests and games and competitions.
Yep.
And so they're bringing back people who have never played the game to be in the game with newbies. And none of the new audience even know who Reggie is.
Well, there's two that in my mind, I'm like, as somebody who was, you know, like enthralled with the first one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for a couple of more seasons after that. Sarah Marie, she, you know, blew up because of the bum dance.
Is she back in?
She's not back in.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
Twerking.
Okay, she did, right? I still remember she had the bunny ears on and you know.
Is she a Perth girl?
Oh, geez, I'm not sure. Okay. And the other one is Merlin. Remember Merlin? Merlin's the dude who, when he was kicked out, he evicted, he was the one who sat on the couch saying, and he held a sign up that said, I think, free the refugees, and he had masking tape over his mouth. And Gretel Colleen had him on the couch with her, and he just sat there. He did not say a thing. He had the sign, and it went on like that. And then eventually what happened was they kicked him off. They went to like a couple of commercial breaks and then he just disappeared.
Right.
And then Gretel had to fill. Well, he had to. Well, good one.
Yeah.
He had to fill. Gretel had to fill the next 40 minutes because they had to. You know how they would catch up with them afterwards and show them highlights and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
So they still played a lot of that stuff out. But yeah, those are two that. I'd love to see Merlin back in there.
I can tell you what Ben from Big Brother's doing.
Oh, please
What's he
do.
Doing?
Yes.
He's the director and owner of a business that represents professional athletes and media personalities, helping them build their careers and negotiate contracts.
He's a sports agent.
Wow, I was way off.
You were.
Footy is Barra's game. Insurance is RAC's. RAC Insurance. For the better.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. Bloody awesome on a Barra Monday.
Barra, good morning to you. Barra, come on. Talk to me. Are we getting on the train? Is it the Indo-Pacific? We heading to Victoria or what? Is it too early to start talking about finals for my boys?
Oh, just a tiny bit. We've got two big games coming up, and we just got to get over those, and then we can jump on the Dockers train fully. We can book seat 1A and 1B on the bandwagon, you and me, Pete.
Choo-choo.
We'll get on board, but, brother. But, yeah, morning, my friends. Hope you had a great Easter. One of our footy teams did, and one of them didn't, as you can tell. Did you know this, Pete, that the Dockers have never been further away from the Eagles on the ladder?
Oh,
never
wow.
have Rio been 14 spots higher than West Coast.
Barra, I could only assume that the Eagles didn't do very well after it was my dad's birthday on the weekend and I gave him a West Coast Eagles bag and dad said, I'm a bit embarrassed to use this at the moment. And my dad is a big Eagles fan and has been for a long time and he was like, don't know if I can take this bag out. And I went, oh, things mustn't be going great then.
He wasn't one of those people that left at three-quarter time. They were streaming out at Optus Stadium. I was a bit embarrassed. I couldn't believe it. After all the great things we've done for everyone, and then suddenly we're no good 1 year, and they're leaving at three-quarter time. I think they were all going to buy fish and chips early, weren't they? Didn't want to beat the rush or something on Good Friday.
What happened, Barra? I mean, disappointing, particularly after what you know the effort that had been displayed the week before.
Well, it was Black Friday, wasn't it? Not Good Friday. And why were they so bad? Well, I'm glad you asked, Matty. Combination of factors. Adam Simpson made a bit of a blue, in my opinion, bringing back four underdone stars. They were stars, Shuey, Cripps, Kelly and Yo. So he would have been looking at them going, oh, we just got to rush them in, boys. And the other guys would have been going, mate, two of them had COVID.
Right.
Can you imagine what it's like 2 hours of physical, extreme physical exercise straight after striking off the virus? They're not going to be that great.
2 hours exercise without having the virus is hard enough, yeah, bud. Let me tell you.
I know. That's the thing, isn't it? We just throw them back in there. Come on. Just go gangbusters. Mm. And the cavalry had arrived and they'd beaten Collingwood. And I think everybody just mentally went, you know what, I think we're sweet this week. And they weren't sweet. They got absolutely pumped. In fact, they didn't score in the first quarter, which has never happened to an Eagles team. No wonder your dad was upset, Kimber. It's never happened that the Eagles haven't scored in a first quarter in WA in 37 years. So,
wow. Hey, Barra, there was a term that I was hearing used a little bit from the commentary team afterwards analysing the game, and that is rebuild.
Yeah, rebuild. just pump the brakes just a little bit.
Right.
Just a couple more weeks, and then we'll start tanking and get draft picks and all that.
But let's just, before we lose you, Barra, I mean, seriously, Frio, what do you reckon? Make a prediction. Where do you think they're going to finish up this year?
They're playing finals. They are playing finals.
Yeah.
They are a spectacular team. And I give you the tip, if you love footy, get to Frio's Len Hall game on Saturday to commemorate Anzac Day. Always spectacular. They're playing Carlton. It's the two up-and-coming teams. Whoever prevails will be the toast of the AFL. Mm. And I'm tipping that it's going to be the Dockers.
Good on you, mate. Barra, all right. And it is a huge game, not just for the fact that it's Len Hall tribute match, but also Adam Chera, who the Dockers joined Carlton at the end of last year. He'll be playing Chera v. Brayshaw.
Do you reckon he'll get booed, Pete? Do you reckon he'll get booed?
Can I just say I hope not? I mean, it's such a... No, honestly, it's such a special night. Yeah. It's a special night, the Len Hall tribute match, and I don't want him to get booed.
No one should boo anyone on any night. It's pathetic.
Oh, Kimber. Oh, boo, Kimber. Boo.
Boo. Boo. Boo. On your
Barra. Cheers to Kimber. See ya.